Ocho, episode number 472. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, but that's just the start of it. That's just the start of who is here. It is feeling like old school right now. This is how it used to be back in the day. Look at this. First of all, I think Per Haljestad's over there just filming some stuff or something. I don't know what we're doing over here. That's crazy to have him here. I haven't seen him forever. Abby Subban is on the mic. What's going on? The original hot tea.
Yes, that's it.
Let the record reflect.
I was the original, and Oscar's taking the moniker now.
He's taking everything you work for?
He can have it. He can have it.
I'll say fight for it. Fight for that shit. Fight for that shit.
And sitting over in the corner as well, Shamak Karsandu as well. I mean, it's a reunion of all kinds, UFC 300. I mean, it's our own little international fight week right now. We don't got to wait until the summertime. We're having international fight week right now for UFC 300.
Yep. It's old school Euro Junkie vibes right now.
It's crazy, right? Like, this could be like an Airbnb in Stockholm or
Poland
with Manchester. We did that a couple times.
Those couldn't compare to the campground, the grounds here.
They wouldn't have the palatial estate. Obviously, you know, in Europe, they don't have quite the grounds that you have to work with here.
Now I'm thinking about it. I'd have to pull up the Roadshow YouTube. I think this group of us five are the five people that are in the picture in front of when we were in London. Remember they did the media day out in the middle of that field where you saw the Tower Bridge in the background?
Yeah.
And the ring car girls were there. That still to this day I think is the banner of the YouTube. I think I want to say it was the five of
us.
Is
it really?
That were there. I'll pull it up and look and see. But yeah, I think it was the five of us. So it's kind of surreal when you even think, I can't even remember what year that event was, but yeah, fast forward 10 years, here we are, you know?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
it's fun. You know what? I think we were all kind of talking about a little bit is sometimes just taking things for granted, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a reminder, right? Like, obviously, travel budgets change and cost change and business directions change and work outlets change and all that, right? But, I mean, we all used to hang out so often and frequently, and I think we just always assume, like, hey, it'll just always be like this. You know what I mean? You never know when that last one is the last one.
Exactly. Yeah. We're on the road, like, every other month. It was like, you know, this country, that country, and it just felt like it was not going to end, and all of a sudden it did.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But it's like that with everything in life, man. You know what I mean? You got to remember. I always say, like, I do think one regret that I have over my whole career is I didn't take more time to, like, stick around one more day. Like, all those cities that I went to and all those places I went, you know how a work week is, man. You don't really have no time to hang out and really enjoy things. I'm like, man, I should have just stayed one more day and at least taken in some sights and whatever, but.
Yeah, that's how you run into debt. That's what I ran into, debt, doing that. But it's funny, you know, because I laugh because I see Abby. Like, I remember we pulled so hard for, like, we got to get Abby on full time. You got to bring on Abby. And ever since then, I've never got to go over to Europe. Ever. It's the biggest regret I've ever had in my life. No, I'm just kidding. But it's funny because I think about it. I'm always like, I never get to go there. Like, why don't you go? I was like, well, now we got a guy over in London.
That's so,
like,
funny. Oh, I remember when we brought Fernando on back in the day in Brazil. I was like, I know as soon as we bring her on, I'm never going to
get to go.
Yeah, and I was like, but it makes sense to have someone in Brazil, especially when we're doing like seven shows a year down there. You know? So,
yeah. No, I say that jokingly.
No, but you can have Paris this year. I have mentioned it.
Like, I wouldn't mind going to maybe Paris.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, like, it's funny when you hear everybody talk about the travel. It's been so long since I've had, like, a crazy long flight. I feel like I'd have to relearn the whole, like, travel for 10 hours without, like losing your mind.
Vibe and
yeah, without just
shutting
up. Because I don't sleep, and I don't really pregame for a flight because I don't want to be that dude that's always getting up, like, running to the bathroom. So then I just sit there and I end up watching every movie. And then it's like an hour before we land, then I'm like, oh, I think I can sleep. And it's like you see him bring the lights on for the food. I'm like, oh, I missed my chance.
I just did 10 hours on a plane, and it just felt like forever. I'm just not used to it anymore.
Did you get the Heathrow to Vegas direct?
Direct.
Oh,
and
that's
it was
nice.
It was on Virgin Atlantic. The
food
was decent.
Yeah.
So I was
He was actually flying on American. They just put him in the Virgin class.
Yeah, yeah. Just like old times, right? I was
just kidding. This dude's got so many kids, right?
Bro, I got another one coming as well.
Amazing.
Just like you were saying, like you never got to like stop and smell the roses when you're in Europe and stuff like that. It just came to an abrupt end. Like, we were doing it all the time, and I was always saying to you, you need to document these things, John.
Yep.
And whenever I pull up a photo or I send one to you, like, just, hey, do you remember this? You're like, barely. I'm like, bruh.
In fairness, fairness, it's true. Had a couple of cocktails at the time, so it's like it's not just an old memory that's happened there. So all right, listen. Enough of a trip down memory lane. We're here, of course, to talk about USC 300. That's not the only reason you're in town.
True.
Abby Swan, I don't know. Maybe cold coffee has to go. Are we allowed to talk about this top?
Well, it's not like it's released anything, but yeah, the part of the reason why we brought Abby over. So we're trying to come up with new content that ultimately, you know, as much as we, you know. Everybody wants viewership. Everybody wants to have readership to your site. Your overall corporate overlords want videos and things that your sales team can sell and other sort of stuff. So we're looking at trying to shoot a pilot of a different series, you know, based around gyms and MMA gyms, but a little bit different as opposed to not just really like upcoming fight weeks or stuff like that, but just to spotlight parts of the cities that they're at and then the the actual gym. So part of it, we're bringing him over to try to work on this pilot. So he's staying the week after. I can't believe his woman let him stay for a week after, but he hasn't told her. Never mind. She thinks he's back on
Wednesday.
My flight
got delayed. How long? A week. It's crazy.
So weird.
There's no flights out of Vegas.
Yeah. The weather all of a sudden, just a snowstorm just happened to come up. You know, so we won't talk about the weather right now. So we're going to work on that next week to try to have the time to shoot the pilot and stuff. But since we knew we were bringing him out to try to do that, ultimately it was like, hey, can we bring him out early enough to help on 300 so we can actually kind of, you know, do it? And it made today so much smoother. Like normally today it was, I mean, we'll get in and talk about it. Today was a bear of a day, but having him there to kind of help cut stuff. So it was an extra special, but he's ultimately over to help work on a future project that we're hoping to try to get for the USA Today network and stuff. So
keep an eye out for that, folks.
Yeah.
Two of you guys collaborating on it.
Exactly. We've been talking about collaborating for years. So like, we pitched it, so like Kenny's the master shooter, he'll be like there, and I just said I need to be there to visualize the edit, so that's how I pitched it.
Yep, because they were gonna let me bring either like a
that's not true.
I want wings. I want B-dubs.
But that is true. Like if you're just given hours of raw footage that you didn't even see when it was there, you have no idea. So yeah, I'm just joking, obviously. But if somebody that does video editing, if you know what was shot, like in your head, you're already kind of piecing
it
together.
I've done it 100 times where they just dump a whole load of footage on me, and then
pull your mic up a little bit.
I spent 30
hours. He's so out
of
practice. He's so out of practice.
Bro, I'm just not used to having these.
I can't do anything with audio. Yeah,
I'm not used to these things in my
face.
What
is happening? I was like, what is going on with this mic over here?
Yeah, so, yeah, like, you get...
Usually, I don't really, like, you know, like,
yeah, I know, I've already choked on it a couple of times.
He said that, too!
Like, I'm used to, like, having, like, 30 hours of footage dumped on me, and I just have to watch all that stuff, and then...
Right, tremendously slow.
And as a kicker, he's a shooter as well. So it's not just like we brought an editor over, so he's able to kind of help shoot, help do the other stuff. But, you know, ultimately in his mind, we could start looking at the stuff and he could say, okay, we don't have this. We need to get more of this sort of stuff. So it's great. It's great to have another eyes to kind of bounce it off. But ultimately, the project will be on him. And anybody that's watched any of a lot of Abby's Legend, other stuff, you see the stuff that he's able to put together. So my job in working with him is just to try to get him as much good shit as we can to kind of put it into this thing. So hopefully we're having a little fun, because hopefully we're going to do some other stuff outside of just the gym as well, where we're spotlight Vegas and stuff. So it's not like you're just going to see. So hopefully we'll go maybe get some B-roll of the city as well to kind of piece in there as well. So make it just a little fun or
who
whatever.
Who knows? Next stop Brazil. You know?
Yeah.
Do it.
I'm sure there's some gyms all around the world we can
all
go
around
see
the world.
Or something.
Cold coffee, Kamikaze collaboration coming.
But no, it's great being able to happen for 3M, because I'm sure we might as well just start talking about today's bear of a day.
They've never done that before. 7 hours and 15 minutes was how long
it
you were
It was ridiculous. Well, they let us in exactly like to the T, 9 o'clock.
Yep.
We walk in to check in. They started. We were supposed to start, even though they were supposed to start at 10. And then automatically, of course, it started dragging on. I think we got our first person maybe 10:15, 10:17, around those points.
Yep.
And then it kind of moved decently, but we knew even with us starting on time, we weren't going to get our last person. I think the last person on the slate was like 4:45. And that's like, okay, that's if everybody stuck to the 10-minute windows that they were given for most of them. We knew that was going to be a potential like miss right from the get-go. But yeah, it was just a bear of a day. And it's, you know, it's funny because you hear other people talking off the side, whereas we gripe and bitch about media days all the time because we're always there. But it was kind of interesting to hear others like, oh my God, when this will be done? I'm like, bro, I know, like, this is ridiculous. The fact that they decided to put 26 people, and I know we talked a little bit about this before.
Right? Because who would you cut out?
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Like, who do you cut out?
Where do you cut? Where's the line where you go, oh, you guys?
The very first fight. Very first fight. Former champs, both sides. Yeah. You know, it's just like.
So I get why. Like, I don't fault them for doing it. But yeah, I mean, so I wasn't there today. I had to work on some things outside of it. Yeah,
another meeting that I swear we thought we were going to see you. Up till this morning, it was like, wait, it was just like last meeting. Where it was like, hey, where's Morgan? He said he's going to be here.
Things change. Your prediction of how many media days I attend moving forward, maybe more accurate than I thought.
It's pretty accurate.
But yeah, I did. I had some other work that I had to get done, so I wasn't able to attend. But I did watch your stream the whole time.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It was very obviously high quality. I mean, there's other folks out there streaming, but I don't know if the image is quite as sharp as yours, man. It's focused.
The massive amount of watch hours already, like, it's going to jump, but, like, since there were so many people and it went so long,
yeah.
By the time I turned it off, there was, like, already over 9,000, like, watch hours that already accumulated.
Well, I had seven of them.
Ridiculous.
I watched the whole thing.
Dude, it was bonkers.
I think we got to, like, the 14th person, and it was like, now we've got a regular...
Now it's a regular one left. Yeah, I said the same thing too. I was like, Kos, now we're at a regular day left.
So you kind of touched on it because I wondered what the vibe was like in the room. Because even for me, I was like, I can't believe. I mean, I got all my work done that I was working on, and y'all were still streaming. I'm like, this is crazy. But again, I don't fault them. I don't know where you would like. Yeah. If it was up to me, John, it's your call. Tell me, where do we cut this off?
People were kind of in the room. You know, were definitely they were. Bitching and moaning, but with lightheartedness, and they could tell that people were tired. But I heard not one particular person at all say, "Oh, we didn't need this person."
Right.
Normally, when people bitch about it being too long or whatever, they're literally grabbing somebody off the side. Oh, we didn't need so and so. We didn't need whatever.
Honestly,
I heard none of that.
Everybody was pretty strong today.
Everybody was. I thought so as well. But they kept it. They did pretty good job of sort of bringing it in because there was a point where it started. Getting long, and then you could see Kos and them coming up and saying, like, guys, stop, stop. And then even a couple times they gave, like, the last one, and then you see people try to do it, and they were still good with that, too. But I know some of us were like, motherfucker, you said last one. Like, stop.
What are you talking about shorts for? You know what I mean? We've covered the shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a...
Yeah, that's the point where you start people seeing chat like, is this the point of the conversation when they're asking about other stuff, you know? But then I was thinking about, I was like, I asked Bo Nickel about Penn State's tournament record break recently.
As a CFFC match day employee, I like when you bring up college wrestling.
I was thinking, fuck, I could see somebody's hating on me asking Bo this, but it was one question, and it was a record that stood since 1997. Yeah. I was like, and I know he's such a Penn State homer, he'd give a good 100%. Penn State homer quote or whatever. But then after that, I think I saw some media online chirping about, why are the media asking all these questions? And I was just like, I was like, he's talking about my question. He's talking about my fucking question, isn't he? F you, buddy.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. So you guys got to speak to every single person today. Kolkov, you and I have talked about this a little bit. Abby, you and I haven't. So I'm kind of curious what your take is. I mean, you've got a different perspective being over in Europe. I haven't talked to you. It's fresh. You saw everybody today. Give me your excitement level for UFC 300 because a lot of criticism, a lot of people saying this is not the card they expected to put together, but I saw a lot of firepower on display today.
What's wrong with this card? Okay. Like the main event is sick, right? The reason why everyone's bitching about this card is because they're expecting Conor McGregor at the top of the card.
Right.
Someone bigger, Johnny Bones, you know what I mean?
Yep.
If you look at Hill and Pereira and you put that on any fight card as a main event, that's a fight that everyone's excited about.
Right?
So, my excitement level for this card is high.
Yeah.
I was, every time a fighter came in, I was adding them to my Instagram story, and the amount of responses I was getting, bro, this fight could be a main event.
Yeah.
This fight could be a main event.
Everyone. I love it, man. I'm glad it's not. I was shocked. I get it. Like I said, I've said it multiple times. I won't get into it too far, but I think people had unrealistic expectations. And look, I know the UFC did struggle to get fights booked that they want. We know that there were fights that were an opportunity, right? As you said, we all thought it was going to be Conor and Chandler. Like, that just made sense, right? That was going to be there. Then we know that they tried, you know, they would have done Jones and Stipe, but they couldn't do that. Then you know that they wanted to do Israel and Dricus, which I think people would have loved that because you got the bad blood and you got all that, and we know that that didn't happen. So, but it's weird. I guess this is like option number four.
Yeah.
But it's still a damn good option.
It just feels put thrown together last minute.
Right.
That fight in particular. But it's a banger of a fight.
Yep.
If we get Hill 100% healthy, which is questionable, like because an Achilles tear should like you need over a year
it's
for
not
that.
Supposed to heal that
did
fast,
you catch
right?
his whole did interview
he,
today?
All right, so that was going to be one of my first questions.
Oh,
like,
Grumpy,
incredibly grumpy.
He
like,
was
incredibly
very, very. It seemed that right from the get go, he seemed kind of grumpy. But honestly, we've seen that from him in the past too. Like I know some people are like, "Oh, that's a cut thing or whatever."
Like a weight cut,
but dude. I feel like in the past we've caught that as well, where it's like, if you don't get the right person in front of him at maybe getting him started. I feel like we ease that way because I feel towards the end there were certain questions that came out where he got better. It wasn't like an overall full thing.
Right.
But I felt across the board when I was seeing people's reaction and people in the chat and other people talking were kind of saying like, yeah, he was coming off like grumpy. He was coming off like real short or whatever.
So that's what I'm wondering. So there's a couple options, right? Because I definitely saw it as well. It definitely seemed like he was grumpy. So, I mean, okay, A, weight cut. You know, everybody's pointing to the physique in the videos, which, by the way, his videos are hilarious. Yeah. Don't stop doing them.
So good.
They're so funny. Don't
stop
doing
good.
So people want that. So it's either the weight cut is hard. It's either he's incredibly annoyed at the media as a whole because of what he perceives as being slighted, or he knows he's not 100% and it's an uncomfortable week for him.
I can definitely see a combination of the first two, I would think, more than anything. Because even the last one, and he even sort of brought up, they're like, you know, was he fully ready to go? He kind of jumped on Mike about it. Was like, were you fully ready to go when you got the nod, or is it the kind of thing that you'll get the question answered when you get in there? And he was like, I don't even understand what you're trying to ask me, whatever kind of deal. He was ready to go right from the get-go. When you asked him, he's like, I'm ready to go. Like, don't use that as an option to, like, say I'm not ready to go. But I think it is probably, in my eyes, I think it is a combination of probably the two different things where you saw the videos where he has his shirt off and he definitely looks like he's carrying extra weight on him. But then also coming in and a room full of people. And who knows what happened before he got there. I think he might have had to go to some of the partners. Somebody there might have rubbed him wrong. And then he comes into our room where you had – It's a pretty intimidating room when you first walk in there. Some came in there, obviously, guys that obviously loved the media, and they were like, whoa, this is really cool. The media room is in the normal weigh-in room, and if anybody's seen that room or if you've seen – well, I guess you wouldn't see from the Apex shows or whatever. It's probably about 100 foot long, maybe, something like that. It was packed all the way to the back of media. So, I mean, there was easily 70, 80 media maybe in there. It looks pretty you know, intimidating. So for him to come in – and who knows what happened before he walked in there. I can see where maybe his guard was initially up. And then some of the opening questions, if you don't sort of toss that just maybe opening softball for him to go, you never know what you're going to get. I think it takes a while to get warmed up. And, you know, maybe he just didn't get the softball that he wanted to kind of get started or whatever. But I'm not too worried about, you know, injury, at least for him. I think if anything else, yes, it was just maybe energy level because it was still kind of early-ish or whatever, and then just being in the room and probably just immediate hunger.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even see it from the media member. By the time they got out, everybody was ready to bite the chew their arm off and was a little bit of grumpy.
I also think that he's pretty active on social media. He's a comment reader.
I was going to say, I think he sees all of it.
Yeah, bro. He's reading the comments and he's coming in there like with his guard up and like, all right, what's one of you motherfuckers gonna ask me? You know what I mean? He was ready.
And like, he's not even looking at comments from media members. He's looking at just comments from random people on the internet.
Yeah. And he's thinking this is fueled by the media. You know what I mean? So on top
100%.
Of, and then someone softened him, like with a question about his trainers.
Yeah.
About his sneakers, and he was just like, you know, these are the same kind of trainers I was wearing when I ripped.
Oh,
shit.
This was supposed to be lighthearted. You know, the same shoes when I tore my tennis.
But it was kind of funny. Like, it actually gave me a nice little chuck. I think at that point, he kind of was like, okay, we're cool. We can actually joke a little bit or whatever. But, I mean, it's a tough – I mean, if you look – I would hate to be a fighter and look around, especially like Holly Holm.
Right.
Like, you know, she's not looking at social media because people are just 100%. Immediately thinking like she's going to get brutalized out there. And I'm sure there's a ton of them. I would hate to be the fighter that actually decides to open it up and take a look because, I mean, how do you not carry that?
Don't read
some
the
are
comments.
Good about it. I'm sure some are really good at shaking it off. I know me personally, I don't think I would be good at it. I think it's just human nature. Somebody's talking shit about it. I don't like when somebody criticizes a video I make, let alone like me.
Right.
Like me and how my work ethic or whatever. Like, I'd be like, I think I'd be the worst. Reading comments like if I was a fighter or something like that. So, I mean, the fact that anybody can go in these days and be ready for what could be a potential, like, angry media in front of me, you never know what you're going to get. I think that's the difference is sometimes, you know, these apex, and people could shit on this whether or not or whatever, about us on our typical media day. When most fighters walk into the media day normally, the same faces they see all the time, they realize that, oh, okay, I've seen this guy, I've seen this guy, I've seen this guy. I kind of know
familiar
what they're going to be asking.
I know they're good.
You know, so like I'm going to open up a little bit. Yep. You walk in a room like today, it's going to be hard to not kind of be shelled up a little bit and expecting blows to be coming, you know.
And, look, I'll be honest. I mean, like some people, well, why do you ask softball questions? I will always start with a softball question because the first thing I want to do is get them going.
Get
like,
them talking.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah. You know, the first thing you want to do is kind of build their ego a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like feel comfortable and like, oh, yeah,
it's
you know
a,
what I mean?
It's a fucking tactic. Yeah, I mean, it's a 100%. Tactic to get
and
you
then
out.
They're like, okay.
Yeah, and then you start getting into it. I mean, it's like the people like, oh, you get one shot. You know, I gotta get them right and get my thing. And it's like, well, if you shut them down right from the get-go, you're going to get absolutely nothing the
right.
rest of the interview, and then you're going to ruin it for everybody else. Yep. You know, like, if you're going to ask a dickhead question, it's either, like, be nice enough to wait to the end before you shut everybody down, you know? Like, let everybody get their stuff, then be your, you know, whatever tabloid self and go for your, you know, the nut shot or whatever. But by the end, I thought he was great. I mean, but it's got to be tough. I mean, he's coming in. I mean, I don't know if you guys are willing to say your picks. I picked Alex in this fight.
I picked
you know?
Alex. Well, that's what I was going to ask you because I felt like in the beginning when this fight was first announced, like everybody was writing off Jamal. But I feel like as we're getting closer, like I'm feeling like more experts and more people are weighing in that they think it's a competitive fight and
yeah.
they think it's even. And I do think it'd be competitive.
I think it's fair.
But
that's
you said
fair
off
to
the top, Abby, if he's 100%, right? You know what I mean? And you yeah. got to take him at his word. But even him, like even for him to be like, for me, it was good right away. Well, you're not a doctor, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's
yeah.
I mean, what happens with injuries with athletes? They rush back too fast because they're like, no, it feels fine. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And then somehow. So I'm not saying that there's no way he is. I'm not saying, no, there's
yeah.
no – you know what I mean? But I'm concerned. So because of that concern and knowing, you know, how important mobility and you know, all those things are going to be, I did lean in
yeah.
Alex's favor, you know.
Because you wonder
I mean?
About
but
the training.
I picked
mean, like,
Jamal. I picked
did
Jamal.
You?
Yeah.
Did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because his power, he's got power. I mean, he's got power in his hands. I think for people that don't discount and they think only Alex is the one bringing power into this, I think it would be a mistake for
yeah.
sure.
You've seen the way like he hits people and it, the effect. Like you saw
yeah.
what he did to Johnny Walker, right? He
yeah.
banged
yeah.
him on the head, and the way he fell is just like
crazy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who do you think hits harder, Izzy or Jamal?
Jamal.
Right?
Yeah.
Jamal.
And Izzy flattened
yeah.
Alex.
True.
When you think of it like that, it's like, whoa,
that's
not a big stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only thing that scares me a little bit, too, is Jamal is not nearly as refined.
Precise.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's, you know, it's a little bit wilder. And
more
not
wasted
be, like,
movements and
but
stuff.
But, like, you know, he's got, like, a wrestling pedigree, right?
I'd love to see him just turn it into a – I mean, I'd love to see it because
yeah,
it's
yeah.
the main event at 300. We want to see a really exciting matchup. But it would be funny if he's just like, I don't care. I'm taking you
and
down.
Just
I'm
dominate like, him for
you.
Like five rounds. Just
you know
grind
mean?
It out.
Crowd just booing. He's like, I'm getting my belt back. I don't care. How about that?
Yep.
Yeah. You guys coming to pay my bills?
Boo these nuts, motherfucker. As I take this belt home.
It would be smart, right? I mean, that would be the smart game
if he's
plan.
Got the skill set to do it, why not?
Yep.
I mean, like you see a lot of the big heavyweights and the guys are like, yeah, I could stand and bang with this guy, but why would I? You know,
right.
like if you have ground game and you can get them out of their off their feet and in your world, why wouldn't you do
yep.
it? You know?
Good main event. I think it's more competitive than people are. I think it's and again, you got to look at this card as a whole. Even if you're saying that's not your favorite main event.
Yep.
Okay, then don't watch that one. You're not going to watch the rest
yeah.
of the card?
I mean, I like Alex. I love Alex. I like the personality he is like, and what he's become.
Jamal.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. It's just like.
I saw a car somebody the other day driving around here in Las Vegas with a UFC plate that says Jamal on it. I can't remember what kind of car it was. I saw it. I was like, that's hilarious.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, kudos to you, sir.
Yeah, but I'm not taking it away from Hill. I just think he's like he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. And
I definitely feel like he's got a chip on his shoulder, right? Like
he's yeah.
Be interesting to see the press conference tomorrow. He's gonna be, you know, obviously everybody's gonna be cheering for Pajeda. Like they love him, man. He's a fan favorite. It's gonna be see what kind of attitude he's, what kind of he's feeling.
I don't envision him getting boos like we see other times. Like
right.
when you see like favorites,
it'll
they
just
boo
like
the people.
Applause and louder applause.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. If not, I'd be really surprised.
Why do you hate? Yeah,
like
what,
why would
you,
hate,
you hate?
Why would you boo? Like, I wouldn't get it. Like, when we see, like, when we talk about the Oliveira Sarukian, how Sarukian got in Miami, was getting booed.
Yeah.
That, for some reason, I think that's partially because Sarukian's personality. I think he just has a way of sort of putting people on edge that way.
Right.
I don't see Jamal being that guy that people are just going to actively boo him, whether they want Alex or not. But you never know. MMA fans are crazy sometimes. But I would be surprised if we get a round of boos for him. I think it's just, like you said, there'll be loud applause and then louder applause.
I think there's a big fan base for Hill. It's just that a lot of – I read comments too, and I see that they say he always comes across salty. He always comes across like he's pissed off at something he's read. You know what I mean?
This is true.
But
so he does kind of.
It's true.
He snaps back because he's a comment reader and he snaps back online, right? Yep. He comes at him, whether it be Twitter, whether it be Instagram, whatever.
It's just how he's going to channel that energy. If he channels it right in the fight, he can take that fight.
I love it.
People just be grateful they saved the card.
That's right.
Be grateful, folks.
We kind of talked about this before, right? But what if, like, what if they didn't put that and they just had Gaethje and Holloway as the main event?
That would have been sick, too.
It would have been a great
like,
main
do you
event.
Think people would complain less?
No, bro. I swear, everyone is more hyped for this fight, for the Gaethje-Holloway fight, than every fight.
That's what I'm saying.
Fight.
If it was the BMF title in the line for the main event, do you think people would complain less than they are with Hill and Pejeta?
Don't even need the BMF slogan just, there. You don't even need that.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. It's like, so why are you complaining? You're still getting that fight and you're getting another one.
Yeah. It was weird. I remember when we talked about the BMF, how we thought like it couldn't be the main event because at the time the BMF was still like this gimmicky one-off thing that they were doing this thing. But now that it seems like it's going to be a repeat thing, now it's an actual thing. And I used the UFC's title name to call – they put him as – adjust him as the UFC BMF champion.
Right.
You know, if they're branding, it's going to be something that's going to go and it's going to go. Now it feels like it's – now it could possibly be that main event because it's a legit title thing that now seems like it's not going to go away.
It's so weird because, like, the continuity of it – because I've heard people say, well, do you have a women's one? Do you have, like, one per division? It's weird, but, like – it is funny, like, you know, when they first announced it, like, we all were like, all right, this is a gimmick, it's not even necessary, but I'll be honest, I remember that event being like, I kind of like this, like, the belt
looked
cool.
Dana came out with the white gloves, with the belt.
The white gloves was completely unnecessary. I don't know who made that call. Like, you got Mickey Mouse out here. Like, what are we doing over here?
With the BMF title, I feel it's like the, we can talk about it in the WWE context, like, it is like the hardcore title.
Right.
Where it's not seen as like an official title, but it's like something to give props to the fighters, right? Yep. The hardcores see the people that are competing for this title, they are legit badasses, right? So we're looking at Holloway. There's a hardcore following there. He's an amazing fighter. Gaethje too. Like, so the people that are competing for this title are worthy of this, and why not give him a title for it?
I watched my first WrestleMania the other day, actually. The first time I've ever watched WrestleMania.
Yeah. I tell you what, I was a hardcore fan, like, growing up, even into my 20s, right? But even Hollywood Rock coming back couldn't bring me back. I watched that fight. That was sick. Like, first fight,
right.
I watched the first night and the second night. Second night was better than the first night, but still can't bring me back, man. Like, the rest of us having a conversation with Sandu about this, who's you know, he works those things, right? But it's just, I don't know, it just can't, like, the other characters.
It was just missing CM Punk. Man, it needed more. If it had more CM Punk, it'd been totally.
Punk was sick, but
with the BMF, now that Justin's defending it in this particular one, because normally we have like a lineal champ,
right?
But he didn't take it from the first one, so there was like a break in the lineage.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Like,
so it's
kind of
weird, but
like,
it's like
when you have one, when you don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's kind of weird to say like, okay, now he's the lineal champ, but it's like, well, we never took it from the original guy, you know, or whatever.
Who else would qualify for a BMF shot? Who'd be like, you know, looking at. The fighters that we
I mean, if the bar is Justin Gaethje, I think, like, nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that dude is just.
I mean, cause
like,
it's
I mean
tough,
for example,
then...
RDA, right? Would you allow him to fight for a BMF?
I mean, you think about all the time that he's got in there, man. Like, maybe.
Yeah, and if Cowboy was still active, he'd.
Cowboy.
100%,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So there's, like, I think it's more for the hardcore fans. Even though we hate the title, like, we hate the BMF, like, everyone hates the BMF, but. There are people that you would think they're eligible to fight for the 100%. BMF.
All right, so let me ask you. Zhang Weili, Yan Xianan, I don't want to skip over it. I know how the odds look at it. I like Yan Xianan as a fighter. I really do. I think she's fun. Like, anytime she fights, I know you're going to see an exciting fight.
Yep.
I just feel like everything that she does. Like Zhang Weili does a little bit better, and Zhang Weili's like added in the wrestling as well. And so, did anybody pull Yan Jianan as an upset here? Or
I did not. But Weili. It definitely sort of has that, especially how you started laying out. It has that feels like when I never would bet against Valentina.
Yeah.
Valentina going to Alexa Grasso, I was like, Valentina does everything better. You know, I was like, Alexa's got great boxing. I was like, but when you look at the overall what Valentina does, I'm like, well, I was wrong. You know, and then was like, clearly,
there, I think.
You know, I mean, like, it was such an incredible bout. So you never know. I mean, but I think you're absolutely right. Even though I think most people, they looked on paper, they say, yeah, Zhang Weili all day long. But dude, you're not. Jianan or whatever, is brutal, dude. She's fucking a killer, man. She's great.
So I think, honestly, that's probably like her best bet, right? It's just like, hell with it, let's just go for broke.
But she's not delusional either. She knows that, like, she knows what's up. Even back at home, like, she goes, Wiley's a much more popular fighter than me.
Right. Yeah.
But she goes, she doesn't need anything but her family to love her, like, you know?
Yep.
Aww.
It's all good. It's all good. Aww. I loved it.
I didn't catch that part.
That got me in the feels. So
I didn't catch that part.
But I still chose Weili.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the BMF. Gaethje Holloway. I'm going to guess most people took Gaethje begrudgingly, maybe. Like, I know everybody loves Holloway. I did want to ask, did Matt, you guys were in the room with him. I'm watching on TV. Obviously, high level stream. I mean, the quality's looking good. I mean,
J-Mo, you weren't there, man.
But I don't know, man. Max looked a little weird to me for 55. Like, if it was a 45 fight, I'd be like, okay, he's close. Did you guys pick up on that he looked a little drawn out for 55?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's weird,
I heard, like, Oscar, one of Oscar's questions was, like, you know, he's been following him along on the YouTube and how he's been bulking up.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything different, like, in terms of size. Like, you know, He did look a bit drawn out for 155.
I thought he looked drawn out for 55. Yeah. And again, I'm not telling you this because I know we all love both these guys. It's almost hard to break down this fight because I think most people are picking Justin Gaethje just because of his power, right? I mean, he's just such a devastating force. But Holloway, you know, moving up a division, phenomenal striker, phenomenal. You know, his boxing is incredible. But it's just tough when you're going against Gaethje, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That just so I'm not trying to pick at things. I love Max Holloway, and I think he is a BMF. You know, you talk about guys that deserve to be in it. He deserves it. But I don't know. It looked weird to me today.
It's funny now that you mentioned it. I think it was one of the things that sat in the back of my head, and I didn't really put it. But I remember just thinking, like, oh, it's weight cut week. You're going to see some. But I think you're right. He did look a little bit drawn out. And I wonder if it's a matter of still these fighters that are continuing their normal ways and cutting to certain areas as opposed to just doing a full-on, like, lifestyle change,
right?
And where you want to be maybe at a stronger, healthy, where the cut's not as drastic or something. But who knows? I mean, like, a lot too. I mean, these fighters have done this so many times. I wonder if it just gets to a point where no matter how well prepared you are during that cut, you're just going to look bad. You're just going to look bad. He still sounded great. He still talked great. I mean,
I was going to say, the funny thing that kind of made me laugh with Max today was, obviously, he's phenomenal with the media, right? He's great. But, you know, somebody first brought up, you know, him moving up to 55. He's like, wow, you know, I really don't like to talk about that fight. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, the way that it came about. I mean, I'm glad I took it, but I really don't like to talk about it. It's like people would just keep asking him questions about it. He's like, I really don't like to talk about it. You know what I mean? Just kept getting questions. I thought it was kind of funny.
No, I mean, he's how can you not love Max? And I think that's just from, you know, his time as being the champ and then being in front of the room. He knows how to work a room, but he also knows that, hey, I need to answer these questions or they're just going to keep asking the same questions over and over, whether they're pleasant or not. But, I'll have to go back and look at the thing. Regardless, I was picking Justin just because I think in the terms of what this fight is going to be, it's just going to be a slang'em bang'em war. And like the overall size that Justin's had, like, he's just a bigger dude,
insane.
You know, and he's used to taking those shots from a bigger guy. And for Max stepping up to that,
it's so funny too, because, you know, here's the thing, right? Like, you know for a fact that, like, if they're out in Hawaii and they were having a team meeting after practice and coach was like, Max, got an idea, bro.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu. let's grapple this dude. Like, Gaethje's, you know, it's tough to go toe to toe. Let's grapple this dude. I really think we got the moves. We can tap this guy out.
Yeah.
You know, Max would just look at him and be like, nah, bro.
He's like, I know I haven't done that yet. Maybe next fight. I'm gonna do this.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to go get in a firefight. Yeah. Like, no matter, and everybody knows you fight Justin Gaethje, it's a car crash, but he's just going to go jump in
the
car crash.
You talk about another guy that's got great wrestling defense and a guy that can keep the fight standing. I mean, it's Gaethje, you know.
So everybody picked Gaethje.
No, I picked Holloway.
You picked Holloway, you did?
Yeah.
Wow, you're on total, work, total polar opposites.
Bro, you know,
today.
I'm taking a major
hit. Is that a heart pick? Is that a heart pick?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm going to take major hits on staff picks this week. Like, yeah, I chose Holloway.
Abby was crushing at
where
the beginning
of the
year.
I'm still crushing it. I'm fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah, I was first.
You were first for a while?
Yeah. And then Mike just, like, I don't know what Mike paid. Like you said, Mike paid Matt Erickson.
Yeah. I think I'm third. I think it was Matt. I'm sorry, Mike. Farah, and then me, and then I guess
Okay, yeah. Got a new look up at the top.
Yeah, bro, like,
I think he's three ahead against Farah, and I think he's got me by five right now or something.
Yeah.
He's had six
like
the past
year. Earlier, right?
Six.
Yeah, he had six.
Okay.
But, I picked Max because, bro,
he could do it.
Yeah, he could.
Oh, yeah, Abby's tied with Matt for fourth.
Matt Wells, yeah.
Erickson,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Maddie.
Oh, well, he hasn't started his annual tank yet, right? You know what I mean?
No, last year he decided to stop picking, like, the crappy underdogs all the time. Like, he was, like, legit giving
a run. I don't know why he would always do that, right?
Because, like, he did great.
Just in case they all came in.
Because he did great. Like, when he actually started picking last year, I was like, bro, he put a serious run in. I was like, right. Matt, where have you been all these years?
Where's Danny Segura? Is he bottom, yeah?
Danny second from the bottom. George.
George's bottom?
George is stinking up the room. George is 33-46.
Ooh.
That's right. Danny's George, 38-41.
But I feel like George's picks, like, he always used to, like, look at it from, like, a gambler's perspective where he was always looking for, like, the underdogs, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you're kind of better off going
the way I look at it now, I'm deep in it. I go pull up Tapology. I see who they fought last and how it ended and how the win streak, what they're coming off on. You know, I get deep on it now because I came last year because I was just copying and pasting Farah. You know, I was just copying because I was too busy.
You should have did that this year. She's up there.
Yeah, well, I did for PFL.
Oh. Well, PFL's a tough one. I mean, that – and, you know, it's so funny. Like – it's hard enough keeping up, and we've joked about this before, when the rosters. It's hard enough keeping up with the UFC roster, and then when we start to put PFL, now it's a combination of the Bellator and the PFL guys, like, trying to keep up with the roster.
Why
so, yeah, when we do the PFL cards, and some of their main cards are so thick. They're, like, six or seven deep, and you're just like, I don't know half of these people.
Yeah, why can't we just stick to UFC, man?
I know, right?
Worth mentioning, I guess, by the way, there is a PFL event on Friday right here in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I don't know if they thought that was going to be a good thing or not. There's a power slap as well. I mean, I might as well say it as well. It's because there are media that will go cover it. You know what I mean? And
I know media that are going to the power slap that are not going to the PFL. You know, and it to me, I'm like, you're supposed to be MMA media. I figure you would go to the MMA media.
Right.
But some are UFC homers, and so they want to go the power slap, and I get it. I'm not criticizing or whatever, but it is what it is. For some people, I mean, there's still a lot of content that some people, when I went and covered the PFL, the power slap, I get shit views, so I'm like, why am I going to go? But there are some people that legit do it, and then they get good social coverage of it, and so they keep doing it. So I can see that, you know, because, you know, it's not like you do gangbuster numbers when you do the PFL guys, but you're seeing – that's real MMA. Like, if you ask me if I'm going to cover PFL or Power Slap, it's PFL all day long.
PFL.
It's ridiculous, you know.
PFL.
But yeah, it's just – it's a rough night for them. I mean, they were, you know, up against
a
lot of stuff, you know.
They're going against the UFC 300.
I mean, good on them for trying. I mean, like, they're going full blaze, like, hey, we're just as big and we're just as good, and they have great fighters.
Did a couple
but
of fights fall
look
out?
At this car that you're going against.
Yeah,
I remember when we looked at. There's been weekends past. Remember when PFL did their card overseas and like it smoked the UFC card.
Yeah,
this card smokes
the
PFL card.
I mean, this UFC 300, like, it is like the greatest fight card ever put together. I know they're using that.
It's
as
pretty
a tag.
Sick.
Like, I don't know if you could do a better fight card, but this was pretty good. So PFL, Impa Kasanganai, Alex Polizzi.
That's a good fight.
Rob Wilkinson versus Tom Breese.
Good fight.
Clay Collard versus Patricky Pitbull could be
really
a lot of fun.
Fight. Yep.
Mads Burnell versus Michael DeFort. This one, I'll be honest with you, scratch my head a little bit. Sadabusi versus Josh Silvera. So Sadabusi is moving up from 170 to 205. Of course, they don't have middleweight, so he's going all the way up to 205, which is cool. I get it. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, he was struggling to
I
wait.
I homered.
Oh, no.
I homered
and they,
on that
and they
one.
Put
that's
him
a tough
Josh
one.
Silvera.
Who did you homer for?
I homered for Conan's kid.
But what about Sadabu?
I like Sadabu, but Conan comes up to me he hugs you when I see him. Like,
and you guys look alike.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right? And they're, bro, I cannot
not pick his kid. Did I tell you about the time once we were at the MGM and somebody, we were in like one of the rooms working, and somebody came up and they're like, Conan, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yo, I'm not Conan.
They're
and they're like, oh,
Conan,
you're right.
And it was
like,
Coker as well.
Coker, he's got. It's just if he's got the beard in place. He goes from Conan to Coker.
The man of many faces.
Which I would love that, because Conan is a Hulk of a man. Yeah, like, yeah. Conan is a beast, but he's also like a gentle giant. But yeah,
if you could take Conan's ability on the mat with Coker's bank account. That
yes, I was going to say with Coker's ability to come up with these. Promotions and grow them to superstardom.
He's done well for himself.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. But yeah, so I homered on that one because I could not look Conan in the face if I picked against his kid.
I get it. To me, that's a head scratcher matchmaking to me. I'll be honest with you. I just
in
think
what
that's
sense?
Weird.
Because
it's two of like their kind of homegrown favorites. You know what I mean? Like, you just brought in the Bellator roster. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, you just brought in all these people. Like, why are you taking two of the favorites on the roster? You know what I mean? Like,
and you can't
wait. If this was any normal PFL season, I'd be like, oh well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, he's moving up. Let's put this together. But like, why match him together in the first fight?
Yeah. Okay. What's crazy too, though, because when you think about the move up, you think like, oh man, he's fighting a bigger guy. Like, there's no way, you know, he's going to be overpowered. He's been dropping like 40. He's been dropping like 40 pounds.
That's crazy.
To make weight. That's ridiculous. He should have been fighting in this weight class. So it's like, this is what he trains, the guy he fights with trains. So, like, I think we're going to see what we've been seeing, but he's going to be up against a bigger guy. So, you know, it's not like it's going to be this crazy whatever. If anything, he's going to have more energy and he's going to probably feel a lot better. So that bodes well for his performance out there.
To be honest with you, it's just going to come down to styles, right? Like, Josh Rivera is a grappler. Sadabu is a striker.
Yeah. Sadabu, man.
Because I think Josh Rivera would be a middleweight, too, if they had middleweight. You know what I mean? I think he'd be – he's not a big light heavyweight.
Yeah, he's not a light heavyweight.
I think he'd be middleweight.
You know, I said I copied and pasted for PFL. I copied and pasted – I think it was Farah, and I've got Josh Silvera as well now.
You better change that.
Copied and pasted.
I even forgot that there was a PFL this week, and then Matt Erickson messaged me saying that I haven't handed him.
He actually messaged you?
Yeah.
He must like you.
Of course he likes
you. He don't message me shit.
You just get all the underdogs.
There was one time, if you don't turn him in,
you get all the underdogs.
Yeah, that's it. That's
no,
it.
Now he won't even pick. There was an event last year where I didn't have a pick, and he never called me about it. So
you just had a blank?
I had like a something.
Damn, he must have been salty, bro.
I was like,
you couldn't just throw somebody in there for me? I was like, in contention.
He was like, not so much.
Matt Erickson getting salty over there. I like it. All right, listen, we've got a lot of 300 left to talk about, so let's just burn through it real quick. Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukin. Love both these guys, obviously. I love this fight. I love this fight as much as I love Gaethje Holloway, just because I think it's meaningful in the division. Their styles come together. All those things are great. I will say, Armin Sarukin, I think kind of messed up a little bit when he said, I was just talking about him because he won't talk about me. Like, I don't really take it personally. I don't know. I think that was maybe just a language issue or whatever. But
I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't love that. I didn't love pulling back the curtain that much. But I don't know. But I'm excited about the matchup.
I am indeed, yeah.
That matchup's sick. I did actually pick Sarukin in it. I don't know why I did. Because, I mean, I think ultimately when you look at what Oliveira has done in the past, it's like, you know, I think the champ has a name, and I don't know why I'm not picking the champ on that one, but I don't know. Maybe I'm jumping on the hype train. I believe that Sarukin will be a champ or has the capability of being a champ in the future. Maybe this is me just thinking that, okay, it's inevitable. And so to get to that point, he's got to get through a guy like Oliveira.
Yep.
But man, Oliveira always says the right things, and he pulls out crazy, just wonderful fights, you know? So that's one of the ones where I pick Sarukin. But I'm really doubting that pick.
I like Sarukin a lot, man. I really like Sarukin.
Would you pick it in this?
But I picked Oliveira.
I was going to say.
I think that's where a lot of people are. They like Sarukin,
but they don't want to pull the trigger.
From the time I saw Sarukin come in, like his debut against Islam, right? I was like, oh, that dude's going to fight for a title someday. Like, that dude's a badass. And I think he has every possibility to win this fight, but like, I don't know, like, what's he going to do? He's going to take Charles down, right? Well, Charles is like,
take me down.
Take me down, right? You know what I mean? If they're standing on the feet, Charles has got the elbows, the knees. So I don't know. I went with Charles here, even though I'm an Armasurkin homer.
Yeah.
But it's tough to go against Charles.
I went with Oliveira too.
Wow. So we all went with the dog.
Yeah.
We all went with the dog. All right. Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Anything you guys
think? Wait, you did pick Surkin?
No, I picked Charles Oliveira.
So you picked Surkin?
No.
Oliveira.
Oh, so I'm the dog.
Oh, you took Surkin?
I did.
Oh,
wait,
sorry,
is he the favorite?
Surkin's the favorite.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah.
People on crack. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But dude, Surkin can absolutely win the fight.
He totally could win it, but I thought I was picking the underdog when I picked him.
Surkin's
I didn't
the
look at the odds.
Which I was actually surprised when I saw that line because I just feel like public sentiment would probably have Charles Oliveira as a
100%.
I've just always gone with Oliveira since, you know, when was it like he missed weight and he didn't get to fight for the belt? What
right, against Gaethje.
And then he just came in and went ape and just.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'll show you. You know yep. what I mean? And since then, I've just been like, all right, I'm always picking him, you know? So.
I agree. I think the dude's – I love that fight. I'm excited as anything on there. Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. I'm sure everybody probably picked Bo Nickel in this one. I do love the fact – I've been referencing it over and over and over any time I've talked about this fight, and I love that Cody Brundage brought it up today where he was like, y'all know I just work here, right? Like, that tweet that he sent out cracked me up. You guys take anything from it? I feel like Bo Nickel kind of rubs some people the wrong way, but I don't think he means to. I don't know. Did you guys take anything out of either one of those guys today?
Someone asked him about being the next coming of Jesus.
That was weird. That question got asked very poorly.
Yeah.
Because Cody Brundage was just making
– He wasn't actually saying he was the second coming. Yeah, it was just an offhand comment.
It was an offhand comment of like, people feel like this guy's like Jesus Christ or something. And then somebody – I don't know who – I didn't recognize the voice, but somebody asked Bo Nickel. He said that you're Jesus Christ. And Bo was like, well, as a Christian, I don't know that I appreciate
blasphemy.
That. That was an awkward moment.
Yeah.
But other than that, you guys.
That's the only takeaway I've got from it. It was just like that was weird.
All right, so I want to ask you guys about one more before we bring in Sandu to help break down the rest of the card. Talk about his experience backstage as an official broadcast partner. You know, a little dust off the shoulder over here. Just saying. But you guys,
he's actually taking my staff over. They're just over there giving them all the treatment.
Yeah,
they don't
right,
even pay
man?
Attention to me anymore.
They're like, hey,
bro, but like a big guy,
this guy's
the big man's
more than
in the
you,
house.
Man.
I know.
I had no idea. Like you've got a Filipino maid, and you know she's my auntie, by the way.
Is she? I thought I saw a resemblance.
What the fuck? What are you doing here?
I was always asking about you. You were like, why does she ask about the European videographer so much? I don't get it. It's so
I
weird.
Love him. Bro, your cat's on
dude,
my bag.
I know.
Pause.
Is what that, is that?
I was going to try to mook him off, but like,
said that too.
He does that all the time. Is it bugging you? I can
no,
make
no,
him
no, no, not all because my cat sits on my bag.
What's funny, he does.
These fucking
he does it all
blue
the time.
Ribbons are kicking
when
in
the,
now.
One of the first PBRs, time that
award-winning PBRs.
Because whenever Morgan used to come and leave his bag over on the sofa or whatever, he just hops on it. Like I literally saw him walk over and he just hopped on it and I was like I was trying to like politely like snap my finger because I didn't want to be like cat get off his bag, pause.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we pausing again?
Every time John says it, like I listen to the podcast on a weekly basis. Every time John says, "Oh, you touched on it slightly," and I'm like, "Yeah, you did." What are you touching on, Kenny?
Oh, that's great.
All right, Sandy.
All right. Hold on. I just want to ask you guys one more thing because Sandy was in the room for this since he was doing one-on-ones. Jiří Procházka, Alexander Rakic, which we know is a big fight, right? We know it's a really big fight. But we also don't think of these guys. I mean, obviously, Yuri's a big personality, but he's not a big talker. You know what I mean? He's just more of like it's a visual thing and whatever. But they kind of had a nice little back and forth, man. They kind of were both on edge a little bit. And I thought Jiří was just super intense, man. Not that you would not expect to be intense, but I don't know. There's something about him today, because usually I just feel like he doesn't like to talk trash. I don't. Just,
I
there was like Jiří, an edge to him today.
I felt Jiří was not going to give us anything,
right?
Until Oscar mentioned that Rakic said that he wasn't a real samurai.
Wasn't a real
samurai, and he was like, "When did he say that?" And he was
I know.
Like, today he was like, "What did he say?"
And then yeah. I was like, "Oh!" As he was putting on his gear at that time. Visually, he was strapping on all of his armor. He was ready to go.
I mean, look, that's a number one contender fight, but it took on a new bit. Because I'll be honest with you, as weird as it sounds, out of all the fights in the card, even though that one to me is a very clear number one contender fight, the winner should fight for the title and we'll have the title decided that night. For some reason, as far as like just from a storyline standpoint, I was probably less interested in that than anything else because there's so many other – I just don't think of them as personalities, but it took on like a new feel for me today.
Yeah.
That I would agree. Yeah. I think maybe just in the fact that the other fights – I mean, it's competing against some really meaningful fights and stuff, and I think we just – maybe it's just the matter of the overall card. It just felt like, okay, we know Rakic, when he's going to go out there, it's going to be a good fight. Yuri's going to go out there, he's going to be putting on a good fight. But there was no heat to it. There was no whatever. Today was the first little bit. It was like, okay, maybe we can make something come out of it. But again, Yuri might say what he's saying right now, but it's not like we're going to see him go out there and like pacing, like, oh, I must smash this guy.
Well, like,
he's literally off doing some breathing technique somewhere. Like, yeah, he's doing some breathing technique right now off somewhere in the snow. He's up on the top of the mountains with that last bit of snow, half naked, walking through it, breathing funny and smoking incense or some shit. But like, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a good fight. I mean, I mean, we know what we're gonna get out. It's gonna be a bang of war. I did actually. I don't know why. I think I went Rakic in this one.
So I actually went Jiří in this one, and
I don't know why I did.
Rakic is actually the favorite. Believe it or not, Rakic is
really?
The favorite.
For real,
it's basically a pick 'em. I mean, it's like you're
tiny,
minimal. Well, she's – I mean, he's really
– must have saw that I picked these dudes, and they looked at my past record, and they're like, well, you know, Cole Coffey, he won twice,
bigger.
And they're like –
got to be favorite.
Favorite has to be. I hope not. I just jinxed them all.
I went Jiří in this one, but Rakic can absolutely win the fight. So,
all right, I feel like if one's going to tire out more than the other, I feel it's going to be Rakic, though.
I do, too. I agree.
I think he's got to get it done, because I think if Jiří drags him through all those rounds, it's going to be his round in that last round.
I agree. All right, listen. I know Abby's got some videos to cut, so we'll say goodbye to Abby. I mean, we might have you next week too. I mean, you're gonna be around, so
he is gonna be here for next week.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Let's do that in B-dubs.
We might be able to do that.
Work something out.
There's no media day next week.
Yeah,
it's off
we'll
week.
Figure something out.
Off
that
week.
Sounds
we'll
good.
See.
But we haven't done that in ages.
It's been a long time since we've done that.
I want to give a shout out.
They still like you
to...
as much as they used to there. They used to
not
roll
as,
out
I'm
the,
not as
the
VIP
carpet, red
as
carpet,
I used to be.
You know, I'm like, Mr. Morgan.
I'm not as VIP as I used to be, but because I don't go there as much as I used to. But
I haven't heard you talk about it.
Yeah,
in
I don't
a
go
long
as
much.
Well. I'll be honest, the kind of quality kind of.
Well, the staff
dipped.
They had some staff turnover too, didn't they?
A lot of staff turnover.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too. I mean, half the reason you go to a bar and establish, especially like a town like this where it's all about the bartenders and the servers, because you know what you're going to get service wise. And once that switches, it's hard to not think that the rest of it
it's still
switches.
Not bad, but it's not.
Still got good sauces.
Salt and vinegar wings.
That's good. That's good. We can still roll over there. I'm sure we can make that happen.
Yeah, I just, before I jump off, I want to give a shout out to another junkie member, like Euro junkie member that's not here with us this week.
Oh, my God.
Shout just out came to, rolling in.
Shout out to Simon Head, who should be here. But holy shit, fucking Fiasco Jones just walked through the door.
Fiasco Jones!
I sent the word out. I said, hey, we're taping. Just as like the door's open, just come on over. But I haven't looked at my phone.
Dropped by
sorry, before Fiasco interrupted. Yeah, shout out to Simon Head, who should be here this week.
Ah, yes.
We miss you, buddy. But yeah, we're having a good time. Sorry, man.
Yeah, man.
That would be epic if we had Simon.
All right, Sandu.
Let's bring over Mr. Shamatkar Sandu.
Yeah.
Is Fiasco like hitting the gym out there, or just coming to pound a couple
of
frosty beverages?
Well, we were supposed to. Here's the truth: we were going to work out because Wednesdays is one of the days he likes to work out, and so since he wasn't able to work out, we knew that we're going
to
be possibly having some beers.
Work out or have drinks.
Yeah. Sandu, you hopping on, or are we going to throw Fiasco on?
Let's bring him on in over here. Let's talk to the it's not often that we're able to bring on an official broadcast partner.
I know, the international flavor. But it's just like, you know, so many accents. I love it. It's like we're like international.
It's the old days.
I know, man. It was great. We were,
absolutely, right here.
And just
sort of like
what we were saying, before, like all those old road trips and stuff, and trying to be grateful for them. So this is definitely one of those events where you're kind of grateful everybody's back together again. It's been a long time. Shit, when Fiasco Jones comes out the woodwork, shit's gonna get cool.
When he literally just barges in the front. How did he get past the staff? To be honest, I was.
man knows his way around things.
Well, there he is, Mr. Shamatkar Sandhu.
What's happening, man?
Back on the ground in Las Vegas covering a UFC event, man.
I certainly am. And I tell you what, there are a lot of people in town. A lot of people in town in Las Vegas. A lot of people making plans.
Yep.
Come here, come there. What are you doing after work? Yep. Where do you want to go for drinks? What do you want to do for dinner? There is no place I would rather be than right here.
That's what's
catching
up
with the OGs, the old school crew.
That's what's up.
The people that helped me get in the business.
And you told me not to let them on, dude. You told me not to let them. Nah.
I can actually 50% believe that still. No, honestly.
I have the receipts. I can prove it. I have the receipts.
You know what? We were talking about this before we went on air, like the last time this particular crew was together, and I couldn't even recall or remember. I think Abby said it may have been like a Las Vegas UFC pay-per-view. Like, I can't even remember. Maybe a Euro. I can't even remember. It's been so long.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, introduce everybody to what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, it's wild, man.
You kind of came together kind of last minute, right?
It's kind of last minute, but it's something I've been working on for 11 years.
Wow.
So I've got a story to tell. So UFC 162 back in 2013. I'm in the MGM lobby. This is early days. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm trying to like shake some hands and get some connections. And I run into John Anik. I think he was only a year or two into his run with the UFC at that time.
Right.
And introduce myself, and I kind of give him an idea of what I'm trying to do. And at that time, I'm just like, where could I fit in? What could I potentially do from a global point of view? Right. And I'm like, hey, John, do you know if there's any opportunities in India? Right? And he's like, I don't, but I can find out. And the great guy that he is exchanged information with me, and true to his word, following UFC 162, did a few intro emails for me.
Very cool.
Right? And this is still with Sony, who have been the UFC broadcast partner in India for years.
Wow.
Like over a decade at this point.
Wow.
And so nothing really came of the communication, but every couple of years I'd knock on the door and I'd speak to a member of UFC PR staff that handled the Asian market, or maybe I'd speak to somebody at Sony, and people come and go, people change, things like that, right? And obviously I've been on my own journey as right? And it's kind of wild that now this is like my third UFC broadcast partner that I've worked for.
As well.
That's true.
I worked at ESPN. I'm still currently employed by TNT Sports in the UK. So that's US and the UK.
Yep.
And now Sony obviously is India.
You never did BT Sports?
Well, BT Sport was formerly... Sorry, TNT Sports were formerly BT Sport.
Right. Okay, okay.
We went through the merger and everything.
I was going to say, I think you got another one.
You know what? I'm going to take that. That's four UFC broadcast partners on a global stage.
Yes.
Sounds good in the bio.
Yeah, exactly.
For that next contract update.
I know, right? But so literally this kind of came about in the last 6 months. I was... kind of speaking to UFC PR like I do every couple of years to say, hey, what's going on? And lo and behold, there was a new member of the UFC PR staff that I hadn't really spoken to that is responsible for Asia. We kind of got the ball rolling on some communication, jumped on a few Zoom calls and things like that. And then nothing really happened.
Right.
Right? Then Sony announces that they just renewed a new long-term multi-year deal with the UFC. And then they got back to me, and then the ball started rolling. And I think the motivation...
Had to get that in place first.
Right. And so I started to understand why it was radio silence for a while. I totally appreciate that. And now they're more invested. And what's cool about being able to balance this particular gig with what I do for TNT Sports is my job at TNT Sports is purely behind the scenes.
Right.
It's totally social media. It's mostly remote. Most of the time I'm working from home. If I'm lucky, I get to go to an event here or there. And for Sony, they wanted me to be the on-camera guy, the presenter, the interviewer. But luckily for me, with all the skill set I've been able to attain working behind the scenes for the last 5-6 years, I can actually do everything.
Right.
You know, my colleagues from TNT Sports, they're here in town. They're rolling 7-8 deep.
Right.
Wow.
I'm here on my Jack Jones. Right. And I'm like shooting, producing, interviewing, and then editing and publishing and sending files for TV broadcast, man.
That's a lesson, though.
So you're
man.
Doing
that's,
all
that's
on camera interviews?
Everything,
as well?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's, the lesson, though.
I mean,
man.
When
that's
you look like
you
that, why wouldn't you? I mean, let's be real, folks.
Of course.
But honestly, like I remember when we were all working at Junkie together, and. I was just I don't know if I was apprehensive or if I was scared, but even learning things like editing, I'm like, Abby's going to do that. Because me and him were like, this is my role and that's your role. Yeah. And as we all know, the game has changed. Yeah. And if in 2024, if you are not able to check like 80-90% of the boxes that are required from, you know, media right now in the media industry, sports media specifically,
yep,
then you're just not going to get gigs.
Right.
And yep, that's just the be-all and end-all. Most companies, most outlets, most broadcast partners, you know, don't have the budget to consistently send a big team and a big staff, especially at a sport like the UFC, where there's a big monthly pay-per-view in different parts of the world.
Yeah, right.
And so I think for them, I just checked a lot of boxes. I'm based in Toronto, so I can get to a lot of North American pay-per-views very, very easily. I have the Indian background. I know the sport. I have relationships with the UFC. I have relationships with the fighters. I know the game, and I know what I'm doing from a social media aspect as well in terms of creating content. So everything came together pretty fast.
That's awesome.
For UFC 300. A shout out to you, John. You helped me kind of like figure out from a budget standpoint, getting the right hotel and everything.
Yeah, no worries.
But honestly, today was a blast. Getting to do what I've honestly wanted to do from day one. And honestly, just even being here and hanging out with you guys and talking is making me feel nostalgic.
That's awesome.
It's making me reflect on the journey, the ebbs and flows, the ups and the downs, and you know, almost had this opportunity, almost had that opportunity, had this door closed and that door opened, and here we are, and I'm grateful and blessed and just happy to do this, man.
That's it. So, I mean, if there's ever a testament to what hard work and like just keeping your nose to the grind, I mean, like that's it right there. I mean, like, we always tell people, like, well, how do I get this? How do I get that job? You know, and you know, I know Morgan, you said a ton of time. You always try to tell people, you're trying to get in the market, pick up a small regional thing. Just start making content. Just start doing interviews, and then just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Keep pushing it. Keep pushing it. And like you said, look at where you're at now, and just from that drive of never stopping and kind of keep pushing forward. And it certainly never hurts for the people you know.
Yeah.
But honestly, without proving yourself and showing yourself, the people that are willing to help people along their journey, if you don't show that you're willing to work, who's going to ever be like, put you on their back and like introduce you to people, you know? Like, somebody's got to prove yourself. Like, they always say, it's not what you know, it's who you know, but it takes what you know to meet the people
That's a good way to put it.
It really is a both thing. I mean, like, if you're not out there trying to grind and you don't have a dream and you don't have a vision and you're not trying to push, you're going to fail. And if you never try and you never fail, you never keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
It's about trying and failing and having the belief in yourself to keep doing it and keep pushing. And look, you're fucking living the dream.
Yeah.
And you're back on the drive. And it's funny because it is nostalgic seeing everybody here, because I feel like we've all of our lives have changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Not only have our lives changed, sports media has changed.
Yeah. 100%.
Look how many people want to do what we do. That unfortunately, for one reason or another, that opportunity has just been taken away from them because the landscape of the industry has just changed. The
jobs are just gone.
Right. And here we are. You know, we're still doing what we love to do.
Somehow.
Somehow, right? That's we're crazy, still around. Man. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I love it. No, now you're talking about nostalgia. Now I'm getting nostalgia. Looking around the room, we got Fiasco fucking Jones over there. I got Abby, who never comes over here, having you back over here, and fucking having Bear in the room. Like, this is bonkers. It's funny, because he brought up the story when the last times he was here, what was it? It was one of the UFC 200. So it was at the old place. Wow. And it was around the 4th of July. So he had never been to a American barbecue. So I was barbecuing out, and this is the one that Derek Lewis and his team came over to the house. So the best of both of them. And he thought this was just like normal. Like, yeah, we have barbecues and fighters just come over and sit on the couch. He's like, remember Derek Lewis? Because Derek was like, what kind of snacks do you got? Because I gave him a bunch of bowl of snacks, and then he was like, what games you got? And he just sat in there and played the Xbox while us and the rest of the team like sat by the grill out by the pool. It was the most bizarre shit, but it's like, I love it. I mean, like, I love this. I wish that we could do this more overseas. But like you said, the nature of the game has changed. The market's changed. It's very expensive to travel and do these things. So I'm very grateful that here we are in our hometown. I mean, more grateful that here in my living room, we're able to do this sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I fucking love it.
Day.
I am. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. This is my second beer.
I tell you what, I haven't had a PBR since we all last hung out and had a PBR with you boys.
Yeah.
This is
solely dedicated and solely brought
Welcome
out.
Back to the good life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What?
We save the good stuff when we have guests over.
I brought that 30-pack that's been sitting in the fridge for like months.
So great.
That's so good.
All right, listen. So all right, we were talking about how all 26 fighters were available today. Did you talk to all 26?
Hell no.
Okay, I was gonna say, that would have been insane.
He'd still be there.
I did four, and okay. like that wiped me out. Because, yeah. again, I'm producing after the fact. That yeah. takes a lot of time, right? So today – so on the docket for me today was Kayla Harrison, Arman Sarukian, Justin Gaethje, and Bo Nickel.
Okay.
I got Bo
good
Nickel.
Names.
Yeah.
That's a good get.
Happy
those
with
are
that.
Good gets.
Right? To be honest with you, with this card, I'd been happy with any four names.
Right. You could yeah. just pick random four.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
100%.
So Bo Nickel came through, Kayla Harrison came through, and Arman Sarukian came through. Justin Gaethje canceled, and I think he was maybe doing some limited, well, maybe he changed his schedule for the day. Absolutely no problem. But as a replacement and as a super sub, the lovely UFC PR staff brought me Alex Pereira. And I'm like, I wow. will absolutely take that. Thank you very much.
Wow. So to get them, one of the main events is huge.
Absolutely. And again, even before that, I was happy with yeah. one of the BMF, members yeah. of the BMF fight. So that was no problem at all. But you know what? It was great because, I think Kayla Harrison may have been my favorite interview.
She's great.
And I tell you
she
why.
She's really good.
It's a personal connection. I was working at the PFL back in 2018, 2019. And I was, again, working behind the scenes at for PFL.
It was
social.
Already PFL, right? It wasn't still World Series.
No, it was PFL.
Okay.
And I'm working behind the scenes social, and I'm actually helping to promote Kayla Harrison.
Right.
And I obviously met her a bunch of times, and we're working on social media content to help build her profile and everything. I haven't seen her since, in person, since I left PFL. So she comes through, and I was like, does she remember me? Does she even know, who I am or anything? And I kind of said, hey, Kayla, do you remember me? She said, of course I remember you. And it was a really nice moment.
That's awesome.
Just
That's awesome.
Before we kind of kicked off the interview, we kind of had a little chat about where we are. And it's crazy that here I am in 2024 for UFC 300 making my debut for Sony Sports Network in India, and here Kayla Harrison is making her bantamweight debut and her UFC debut on this card. So it was kind of like kismet that
cool.
we're both here, and we have a previous relationship at the PFL. And to what you were saying, she's an absolute pro. She knows how to do media. She knows how to promote herself. Yep. She gives 100% energy to every single answer, which is incredible considering she's going through this crazy weight cut for bantamweight.
Man, she looks jacked though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she does.
Absolutely
looks
shredded.
Fantastic. So, and I don't know if you recognize, you kind of have a unique look. I can see where she may be recognized. You're kind of like you're 8 foot tall, 8 foot tall, jacked Indian looking dude.
There's not many bald bearded Indian men in the game. Yeah, what can I say?
Oh, look at this. Pear's got a photo.
Dude, that's a great shot.
Oh,
she
man.
Is fucking jacked. So, and she smiled. That's not a strained smile. Like she's like, yeah.
She's happy.
She's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's got to be. I mean, she's where she. It's where she wanted to be.
She
knew where she
and
wanted
you know
to
what?
Be.
She's such a professional.
That's a great
I
shot.
Know for a fact she always wanted to end up here in the UFC. Mm-hmm. But she never talked about it.
Right.
Right? Because she didn't want to. Because
she's that smart.
She's a professional.
She was a company woman.
Yep.
She was always pro PFL when she was under contract
Very
with PFL.
Very professional.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I think she always knew she wanted to be here and she always never. So let me ask you
And they rewarded her for that too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think any promotion, if you know you have this stud of a fighter, like AJ, all those cats, they knew what they were doing when they stuck around because they paid them accordingly and they took care of them.
Yep.
You talk good about them, and they took care of them.
Yep.
I mean, granted, maybe the UFC could have did better job of taking care of some of the fighters in the past that played the company line. I think the PFL did themselves right by doing that seemingly from day one.
100%.
Where fighters were really like, I'm PFL. And what did we hear? We heard the PFL was paying them out the yin-yang, So good on them. So good on her for being professional enough to realize, why am I going to look the gift horse in the mouth and try to speak before I have this other thing. I'm sure there were numbers that she was trying to get from the UFC that they weren't willing to try to go for, but obviously at some point they got it to work.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about the fight because I'm a big Kayla Harrison fan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I am. I've just always been a fan of her as a person, as a fighter. But Holly Holm, I don't know how you don't like Holly Holm
yeah.
as well.
For sure.
You have to the upset that she had over Ronda. Of course, obviously we all remember that. Amazing.
But Ronda wasn't really that good.
What's that?
I'm just kidding. I was like, but everybody's rewriting history. I was like, but Ronda wasn't really that
terrible.
Good.
Terrible.
People are so, I know.
What are you talking about? What?
People are so ridiculous about that. And I thought she had a great answer about that today, too.
It
did come up today, so I thought that was good. But I'm just playing.
It's funny because you're all right. People try to rewrite history. But
people
wanted
oh, that wasn't a big deal. You're literally crazy.
So what do you think about with this fight? I mean, are you guys looking at this? I mean, the odds basically make it seem like it's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
I do I did. My pick was Kayla Harrison here, and I do believe that you know she is the justified favorite here.
Sure.
But I'm not looking at this fight as a foregone conclusion. Am I being crazy in that, or do you just think like, hey, this is a 40-year-old Holly Holm, this is Kayla Harrison at her peak, you know, this is just a stylistic nightmare? Because I don't know, Holly is just so athletic, and her movement, you know, is probably, you know, she's not going to get tired, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Kayla will, because we saw the physique today. It looks like her cut's going just fine. But right. I don't know. It's just so many question marks around it. Like, I just don't look at this as automatic. Do you? Or?
You know what? There's a few factors here. First of all, it's a 3-round fight, not a 5-round fight.
True.
Okay, so from an energy perspective, the energy meter on Kayla at bantamweight, maybe that's actually perfect for her to make her bantamweight debut in a 3-round fight.
That's true.
On a Holly Holm perspective, you know she's always coming in with a strategy and a game plan. The Jackson Wink team always have it down to a T.
They're so good.
Right? And she's got so much experience at the UFC level, which is obviously a much higher level than any other promotion in the world. But then the age factor comes in. And then you just have the thing that you can't really kind of quantify. And that is Kayla Harrison's energy and her it factor coming in. And it's kind of wild because it's Wednesday. So I think the tough part of her weight cut's just about to begin now, before she hits the scales. And that's going to be the telling moment, right? Yep. When she actually steps on the scales, what does she look like? How does she feel? Like, you know, is it too much? Is she able to rehydrate, you know, enough time between then and the fight itself? Whereas Holly Holm has fought at this weight class for a very, very long time.
Yep.
So I completely agree with you. This isn't a foregone conclusion, but I'm still picking Kayla Harrison to
win. Her weight is kind of funny. You talk like social perspective. That's what I mean. As far as Friday morning's official weigh-ins, Kayla's weigh-ins the biggest
100%.
Thing, right? Like that's
absolutely.
I know we'll cut a social from it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think everybody
like
everybody's wondering how it's going to look. You know,
100%. That's going to be the moment. Yeah,
you raised a lot of good points. I mean, Holly's team and the way they were able to strategize and break down. It's funny. We've talked about it in the past. After the Holly, after she beat Ronda. Listening to Coach Jackson then break down the strategy in the airport after, and was like,
it's amazing.
It was like, oh my God, you were absolutely right.
They had her dialed into a T.
And I mean, like, if there's going to be a team that studies tape and is able to break somebody down, it's going to be
that
team. That's
all reminiscing. I'd forgotten about that.
It just.
They're like,
I'll never forget that.
It was so great. We were sitting in the airport, and she's like, hey, he's like, you know, when we broke down the tape, you know, she only has two entries to like, and I mean, literally,
so in depth.
She has this tendency and that tendency. So she does it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Plus, the mystique of Kayla Harrison being this undefeated beast is gone. We've seen her lose.
Yep.
Right. So there is a path to victory there. If you can look back at that Larissa Pacheco fight as well.
Granted, though, Holly's not going to be trying to do a Larissa
Pacheco. True. True.
But I mean, when you see her movement, you know that. I mean, like we always see that Kayla comes in there and gets a hold of them.
Yeah.
Holly does a great job of keeping the fight moving. She never stops. She literally, I think she moves around like 10 miles in a fight. She's always moving. I think she has better takedown defense than most people give her credit for. But granted, this is a gold medal judo that she's going to be going against. But she has really good takedown defense, and then she stays moving. And if she's able to sting her and, you know, get some kicks and hits, maybe we will see something. But I just it's hard to not think that Kayla's not going to do what she's been doing against everybody outside of Larissa Pacheco.
Do you think if Kayla wins, cuts a promo, it's straight into a title picture?
100%.
Right?
As long as she wins impressively. Because that's the thing is, if Holly Holmes somehow makes this kind of a boring fight, or she's very evasive and elusive, and so Kayla's never able to really grab a hold
and
of
it
her.
Goes to and the
so
judges.
You know what I mean? And it's like she ekes out a decision, and then she cuts a promo. I don't know if people are like,
yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
But if she does what we know Kayla can do, I'm not saying that she necessarily will do, but if she does that, if she picks up Holly, throws her on her head, you know, gets on top and starts unleashing, and then gets up and does what she does on the mic, I think you go straight to a title shot.
When I spoke to her today, in so many words, she basically says, get through Holly Holm, fight Raquel Pennington, and then bring back Amanda Nunes. It's like, UFC debut, UFC championship, and then fight for GOAT status. Yeah. Those first three fights in the UFC, have we
Drop
ever seen
mic,
anything like that?
Away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Done. I'm done.
Which kind of fits the timeline, you think? Because she wants to get the belt. She wants to defend them. But I don't think anybody thinks she's trying to do this long term. She's trying to make some money and get out.
Yeah.
You know, like she's got the family that she wants. She talks about all the time, the family she wants to take care of. I'm predicting armbar finish.
All right.
I think that's how she's going to finish it.
Could you imagine if history repeats itself and Holly Holm executes Kayla Harrison like she did Ronda Rousey?
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine? Just like a leg kick knockout
Insane.
Against another judoka.
That'd be insane.
All right. But isn't it UFC 300 just feels like sometimes this is the card that could produce some of those special moments?
100%.
With the talent on deck?
Yeah, 100%. You already know that.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be great.
Dana's going to wait to how much he boosts up that performance bonus until he sees it tonight.
At least go 100, right?
You would think that they would
at
do 100.
At least 100.
When Justin and them were talking about the 300 with it being UFC 300, I was like, that makes a lot of sense, but just they're
That's
not going to give away millions of bonuses.
That's a lot of money.
You know, because even if they give out four bonuses, you're talking about 1.2 million. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if they gave out 400,000, 500,000,
could do that.
I could see that.
Or like Hinata Wakano was saying, just give everybody that gets a finish a bonus. Like, you know what I mean?
I always like that. The finish bonus, I've always been a fan of that.
I like
it
that
just incentivizes
the
finish.
Great nights when it has like killer nights, it always makes it great. It makes fun to watch.
I mean, yeah.
Half of one, their fun is just like their post-fight. You know, like, that was a great interview. But you know what else is great? 50,000. You know, like, it's a bit cheesy, but it's cool because they just give out all these crazy bonuses. You know, I would love to see if it became more of a norm.
That is a pretty cool moment, actually.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
Not, it's so cheesy, but it's
just
awesome.
Some email afterwards,
yeah.
Or where they get
it's like they make
whatever.
It a big deal of the thing, but it's like I forget the guy's name that's in there doing the interviews, but I'm wondering like at what point he wants to let it go because you know he knows it and he's just like interview, and you know what else, you know, but no, I think it would be great if they give out some bigger bonuses, but yeah, I think even if they just give like finish bonuses, if they did it more often, I think we'd see a lot more finishes. I mean, like if they're always talking about trying to have people go out there and put finishes, then make it just a finish bonus. Don't call it just the performance night or the final night. Just make it a finish bonus.
Yeah. Nice.
And just work it into the pricing, you know? Like when
you could just add a few more bucks to the ticket.
No. What I'm saying, like, when this is on their end.
You
like,
hear that, everybody.
When
Cole Coffey advocates for the UFC to raise ticket prices.
Raise ticket prices just so we can get bonuses. No, but, like, when they're looking at the overall cost of an event, I mean, it's the ticket prices and everything else sort of pays for, like, the event, you know? It makes sense that if they're just take a little bit less profit and just give it to the fighters right there. They're still getting their money from the ESPN and the TV deals.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense they could spread it out. But I would love to see it. And you want to guarantee fighters go in there and do it. Fighters do it now, but they know that there's only like one or two bonuses, three bonuses maybe. But if they know that, hey, guys, we all can go out here and just put on some crazy fights and all 10 or 11 of us winners are going to get bonuses, it would be fantastic, you know.
Yeah, you know, speaking about pricing and tickets and things of that nature.
And I was not advocating. Don't come at me. Don't flame me, mofos. I was not doing that.
So you know how Dana White for a while now has just been touting all these stats and records that the UFC keeps breaking with these pay-per-views and arenas and venues and things like that. I was just in Philadelphia last weekend for WrestleMania, and Triple H is essentially the Dana White of the WWE.
Yeah. Right.
He is the Carnival Barker, the public figure. He's always speaking at these post-event press conferences. And he has, over the last 6 to 9 months, started to do the same thing. He's touting all these records. He's making a point to do that to kick off his press conference before he even takes a single question. And it's just incredible to see the kind of
the
duality of the two
there,
of them
100%.
Under the TKO umbrella. And I'm just kind of curious to see what kind of records Dana White kind of touts at
they
the
They know,
dais.
Man. You drop those records, all of a sudden these venues start calling you and saying, man, you guys put up that kind of gank. Why don't you come over here?
Right.
And,
did we talk about this? Did you guys know, like, with the whole TKO and with the Endeavor selling their going public or going private again, but TKO is not
TKO
part of the –
TKO still say public. Yeah, it's just like the talent representation side of things. They
went
private again.
Gotcha.
Yeah, TKO still public trade. All right, real quick, I want to ask you. I said the one social would be Kayla. The other social will probably be Aljamain as well, weighing in. Spoiler, he'll be in shape.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right. But what do you guys think about his chances at 45? Because to be honest, man,
I believe
I
in Aljo
like,
at any weight class.
Yeah, I do too.
It's fucking Aljo,
man. I don't think he's going to be somebody that's like out of place there.
Yeah, and again, the extra 10 pounds. I mean, it's got to, like, have a major factor in his energy levels.
Oh,
he moves around so well, and he's the human backpack and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's going to be a tough fight for Calvin Kattar.
I do, too.
I agree. I mean, I think I picked Aljo in that one. Kattar's tough as can be, but, man, it's fucking Aljo, man. And he's at a weight class where he's not cutting his less. And he realizes that – I think he realizes that this is a one-way ticket to this division. Like, it's not going backwards. So he needs to make this division work for him. So.
Plus, he's a championship caliber fighter who was in this insane win streak before he lost to Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, he doesn't take L's that often.
Yeah.
Amazing. Dude, we could sit here and break down everything.
I know,
right?
It's madness.
The whole, we didn't even get to the early prelims. You know, like, why are we talking about the early prelims? Oh, you just got multiple champions on there, you know what I mean, on the early prelims.
Well,
How crazy. Devastating Figueroa.
I was going to say, we got to at least put a pick on that one.
Okay, let me ask you guys. How full do you think the T-Mobile Arena is for that first fight?
Not at all. And I hate to say
that sucks, man.
I just think Vegas is a late. I think Vegas and Miami is the only other one that rivals it, where they don't show up until the main card.
I would say quarter
they
full, maybe, or something.
They just don't show up until the main card.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Like, but if I had a ticket, I mean, I'm just like, yo, I need to be there from the very first fight.
Well, look.
Maybe they'll do better on this one because it is a 300, and maybe
special.
It is or something. But yeah, typically when we're lining up for to get our media credentials, and we're looking over at the fan entrance, there's not a lot. I mean, it's hard to gauge the couple thousand or something like that, but it's probably just a rough small fraction, probably not even a quarter. I would think for the first fight, we're going to probably see less than a quarter full.
I mean, you are right. This is the most stacked early prelims we've ever had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so by far, like, if there's ever a show that Vegas will show up early, it's this one.
This one.
But I just feel like, I mean, I've been here for so many years.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so many big cards. And I've just, it's just, it never shows up.
This is the litmus test. We're going to find out how full a Vegas pay-per-view can get filled out for that first fight.
Yeah.
This will be the actual ceiling we're going to find out.
I mean, you got to think about it. It's like, it's Vegas. There's so much shit you could do and get your drink on and have fun. And then you show up fashionably
like
late.
Like the same way now.
So it's kind of like, I get it. I get why people don't. But it's like, if you're paying this much money, these are not fights you want to skip.
No.
Yeah.
You know, by any means. But I understand why people want to enjoy Vegas. Then they get in there afterward. Like, oh, we go here. We'll eat. We'll have some drinks. We'll go in there. We'll maybe get for the last fight. It is a long night. If you show up from the very first fight to the end of the night, it is a long night. And you're paying venue prices for your beers. You're paying venue prices for your food. It's maybe not the cheapest night.
It starts to add up quite a bit.
So that's attending in the arena. But, you know, there is some information with regards to broadcast partners that I can share that I don't think a lot of people out there are aware of. So TNT Sports in the UK and Ireland, for the very first time ever, are actually showing every single fight in the card, including the early prelims. Not just the broadcast prelims, but the early prelims that are dedicated normally for Fight Pass only in many markets.
Is it free over there? Or?
No, yeah, it is free as a part of the TNT Sports monthly subscription.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like a pay-per-view, right? And in India, Sony are actually going to be airing the broadcast prelims for the very first time ever. Traditionally, and this may be part of their renewal deal, I'm not sure about that, but traditionally they've only ever aired just the pay-per-view main cards. So just from a global perspective, to see how this card is going to get more eyeballs in different
Holy
markets.
Holy cow, the numbers just from that, I would think in India is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, in India, WWE is so big. Like, it's like after cricket, the second most watched kind of like sport, quote unquote. And WWE is the second most watched sport after cricket.
Really?
It's huge. Like, it's insane.
Wow.
It's actually madness. Awesome. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, UFC's on the up and, you know, coming up now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I feel like in India, they've got a couple of fighters on the roster. Anshul Jubilee, who obviously didn't do well in his debut. You've got Pooja Tomar, who's going to make her debut fairly soon. But, you know, like with WWE, they had a champion in Jinder Mahal.
Was that what fueled the growth, or was it already huge
before that? It's been big in India for years, but that definitely kind of helped kind of push it up a little bit higher. And WWE just globally has been around a lot longer than the UFC.
He was a lovely man.
Right?
Jinder Mahal, man, he was a stud.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But on the UFC side, they just need someone, like every market does.
Yeah.
Just need someone to kind of break
catalyst
through, and then that's a domino effect. We've seen it time and time again.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, well, listen. We've been talking. We could keep breaking
the
card.
Now just switched to drinking.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I mean,
like, let's get sloppy, but off the
mic.
The
emotions have gone through. Now it's just time to just put some drinks
in. I want to export this out, get it published, and then let's just get our shit on.
I love it. Let's go do that. Maybe we can do this again in International Fight Week. I don't know, but
hey, listen, who knows? I may be on the road a little bit more often in the future.
What do you think, domestically or internationally too? Or still trying to figure out the details?
Like, I think, and again, I don't even know, so I'm kind of just spitballing and guessing it, but I think the idea generally is to try and get me to as many North American pay-per-views as possible, just given
costs
my Toronto location. That being said, I can strategically position myself because I still have family in the UK.
Yep.
Right. So when there is a pay-per-view sometime this summer, somewhere
like
in the UK.
Just cover the fly. Right? I don't need a hotel.
And if, I'm just already spending time with my mum for a few weeks and that just happened to coincide with the pay-per-view in the UK.
I mean, it makes
sense. You could twist my arm to go and work that event. That's
exactly.
What I'm saying.
Just saying. Let's have a look at it. Well, yeah. Cool, man. Well, that'll be exciting, man. It's great to have everybody back together. I don't know when we'll get to do it again, but as we've learned, we should savor it and appreciate it because
yes.
We don't know when it's going to happen again. So
amen.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to quit talking and we're going to start savoring and appreciating some past blue ribbons. So we appreciate all the support. Thank
yes.
you, everybody. Episodes, half episode coming over, Patreon, all that.
Yes.
You know all the things we normally say. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you.
Aww.
Thanks for listening.